Hello and welcome to this podcast, which is brought to you by Nedbank Retail Investments. My name is Angelique Arday. I'm a personal finance journalist, and today I'll be chatting with Sisandile Sikido, who is the head of retail investments at Nedbank. Our topic of conversation today is how to make your retirement savings stretch through these tough times. Many retirees entering a new life stage during the pandemic might feel somewhat insecure about their financial future and their ability to enjoy their retirement comfortably due to the impact of economic instability on their market-linked savings products. If you're in this cohort, you may be looking for solid guidance to help you with your financial and retirement planning so that your savings accumulated over your working life don't run out in an increasingly costly world. With the pandemic making a dent in portfolios and the looming risk of inflation acceleration, we're talking about how you can avoid the potential pitfalls of retirement while maximizing your income at the end of your working life. See, so some people listening right now might just be starting out, or they may be in the middle of their retirement investment journey. How much should a person be investing as a guide over the course of their working life?
Hi, Angelique, and hi to the listeners. I think this is a very important conversation, primarily because we see a lot of South Africans who are not able to retire comfortably. Alexander Forbes released a study last year that indicated that less than 20% of their clients were able to retire comfortably with a returns ratio of around 75% and more. That's 20% of their entire book. And that for me is quite scary. So experts also say that you should save at least, or rather put away 17% of your income for a period of 40 years to reach the replacement ratio of 75%. Now, what does that mean? That means you'll probably need, according to experts, 75% of your current salary in order to retire pretty comfortably. That's considering a myriad of different reasonings, etc. I think some of those reasonings would include the fact that as a pensioner, you'll experience lower levels of taxation in your retirement. Pensioners don't really need to make that much in terms of contributions towards retirements. Pensioners also have lower levels of debt. Hence, we're saying 75% of your income. But also, pensioners have high levels of medical bills and inflation at retirement. So those are some of the things that are considered when that returns ratio is being calculated. But I would suggest that anyone looking to invest in their retirement and put away money for their retirement to seek financial professional advice and a financial planner, someone who's going to have a proper look at the individual's income, their living expenses, assets, liabilities, etc., who can give adequate advice. So this is quite vanilla and generic, but I think amongst the things to consider, one would also need to look at returns on investment. So if you're putting away money now, how much are you getting? Are you maxing out your RA contributions, for instance, which is what is recommended? And also, when are you planning to retire? So your plan, hypothetically, if you are now 40 and you're planning to retire in the next 15 years, is very different to someone who's retiring in 25 years or longer. So it's very important to consider all these aspects of where you currently are in your journey and what you want at the end and how essentially you want to live in your retirement.
Thanks, Sisa. I remember the first time my first editor, Personal Finance, explained to me the concept of a replacement ratio and how I struggled to understand that. I couldn't understand why anyone would ever want to be drawing an income, an annuity in retirement, that was anything less than what they were accustomed to earning. Why would you not want 100% of what you were earning in pre-retirement when you're in retirement? So for any listeners who are early in their retirement investment journey, a replacement ratio is the annuity that you draw from your retirement investment nest egg as a percentage of the monthly income you were drawing when you
were accustomed to.
Yes. Now, we know that not all investments are created equally. Some are riskier than others, and some are more resilient against the changing winds of the market. And there's this incredible variety of investment vehicles, and they can be very technical, right, Sisa? So daunting for investors to wrap their heads around. The question then to those maybe at the beginning or the middle of their journey, where's the best place to invest for retirement?
So Angelique, I would once again put a disclaimer ahead of my answer and say it's important to seek professional financial planning advice where you are looking for various asset classes. But to your point, there are a vast array of asset classes to choose from. They vary in risk as well as returns. And generally speaking, the greater the return means the greater the risk, oftentimes. And in addition to that, I think a retirement annuity is something that every single South African who earns an income should look into. Extra cash that can be put away into perhaps listed shares, if that is something that you have an appetite for in terms of risk. And you can choose various performing funds. So if you look at unit trusts, for instance, and depending on the term that you want to invest and how much you want to invest, you can choose not so risky funds, or you can choose a very low risk fund and put money away for much longer. So I think it goes back to having an investment basket that is not geared towards one asset class. So others will add property to that. Other people will add fixed deposits to that, which I also think is quite important, where you have cash that is sort of guaranteed. You're not going to earn exponential amount of interest, but that cash is always guaranteed and you're never going to lose it because it sits in a bank guaranteed deposit. So I think it's important to have a look at what you have capacity for and what you have appetite for. It's important to have varied investment classes and asset classes. And it's important to, when you're taking the risk, to be very clear on if things were to go wrong, how long do you have to recover so that you don't necessarily jeopardize your future, your retirement, and your family. Be that as it may, however, there are some risks that you do need to take. You are going to need to take a level of risk in order to have the right sort of returns or higher returns in the future.
Earlier, Sisa, we spoke about how as investors, we need to be saved from ourselves. And that just comes to mind as I listen to you answer that question. The value of qualified financial advice is priceless. To have someone in your corner who's got your best interests at heart. So indeed, if you've followed all those steps, you've lived within your means, you've diligently saved a portion of your income in the right asset class, and in fact, you've had exposure to a diversity of asset classes, you're looking at retiring with peace of mind. But as that moment approaches, it can bring on some trepidation, you know. What should a person be doing to prepare for that day when it eventually comes around? So a question for people who are just pre-retirement.
Angelique, I think it's important that as we look at to our previous conversation around various asset classes, are those asset classes and returns geared towards taking into account things like inflation? As you know, 30 years ago, 5 Rand could buy you a cheeseburger and chips and a Coke at a famous sort of burger joint. 30 years later, 5 Rand cannot even buy you the chips. You're probably going to spend close to 100 Rand for that. It's still the same burger and chips, but it's the value of the money has changed. So I think for me, that was one of the most simple explanations around inflation that I've ever heard in an economics class, and it stuck with me. So the value of your money today is not going to be the same tomorrow. So ensure that you are taking into account inflation. And that may mean you need to contribute more. That may mean that you need to obviously restrict how you're living now a little bit more in order to be able to access a returns ratio, to your point, that is a bit higher or closer to the 100% that you mentioned, which we all ideally want. I think in addition to that, if you're sitting in your late 40s and your kids are grown, or even late 50s, your kids are grown, you have an opportunity to downscale your life, whether it's buying a smaller property that doesn't require as much maintenance and selling this one and making some money off it, etc. And it doesn't have to be property. It doesn't have to be a car. You know what downscaling is for you. I think it gives us the opportunity to downscale. I think also earning for a number of years gives you an opportunity to really look at what you're spending on and your debt. And I think it's imperative to have a game plan for you to tackle that debt in order to ensure that when you are retiring or you are retired, you do not have as much debt to fulfill and you don't have as much debt commitments, which means you are now eating from the money that you should be eating, literally. You're taking from the money that you should be earning. So I think that's also important. I've also seen, once again, the rise of the side hustle in our seniors base. So I know we've had a number of clients who come to us and say, you know what, I've retired, but I'm still feeling fresh. Off air, we were talking with one of our producers who's saying her parents are going overseas and they're retired and their lives are sort of paid up, etc. And now they're starting a side hustle, and we call the job hopping instead of club hopping, job hopping around the globe. Some people may not have access to that, but I've seen retirees starting to teach. I've seen teachers who are now retired who are tutoring students on the side. One of my great uncles, may rest in peace, what he also did, he went back, he used to work for the embassy, he went back to the embassy and he started to sort of mentor and teach around politics, etc., and be sort of a consultant within that space. So I think there's a myriad of different things that we can do, but what we do need to focus on is on our retirement contributions, and as well as, which should increase the closer you get to retirement, as well as reducing debt.
Sisa, I wonder if you'd speak to this issue, which is burning on my heart, and I'm seeing a lot of it, especially in very desperate times such as these. Though it happens with people who've not made adequate provision for retirement, which, as we know, is about 80% of us, you get to that season of life, you realize, you do this little audit pre-retirement and realize, oh, heck, there's not enough money here to sustain me through retirement. What can I do? And people in that state of mind are the most vulnerable to falling for scams. Maybe you can speak to people in that place right now, Sisa. How do they protect themselves from making crazy, irrational, dangerous decisions with the little that they have saved?
Angelique, I think that is absolutely tragic. We have all come across people who have fallen victim to scams, and they're promised the moon and the stars. If you invest this much, I can triple it, I can quadruple it. I say to everyone, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. And as much as that makes me sound like a broken record and everybody knows it, it's so sad how very few people put it in practice when they are in a situation of desperation, like you've mentioned, where I'm looking at my retirement and I'm like, what am I going to do? I would also ask people to take a step back. So the pipeline to retirement, we change jobs, we move around, we take money out of our retirement savings, and we spend that money. You're taking away from your future self, and you don't want to find yourself in a position of desperation come your retirement age. So if you are finding yourself in that position, the first thing to do is forgive yourself. Right now is where you are. Where you are is where you are. There's absolutely nothing you can do to change time. You cannot turn back the hands of time. You can't miraculously change the situation. To seek financial, professional advice and help. No one who is telling you that they can double your money or give you 30% returns in 6 months is telling you the truth. Take the time, educate yourself on where your money is best suited and how you can put money in various classes and asset classes that will help you in the near to long-term future. And perhaps you may be in a position where you can still work. So you may have to defer your retirement a few more years if you are able to. So that's another option. Another option is refirement. I love that term that you used earlier, Angelique. You may have to start a side hustle and kind of bridge you between now and your retirement, but do not take risks with the little money that you have. Unnecessary risk, that is.
I think deferring retirement is such a powerful opportunity for those who have it to make the magic happen in those last years of your working life. And then, as you say, prolong your working life. These are things we can do. and that seeking qualified professional advice, absolutely important. Thank you, Sisandile Sekido, Head of Retail Investment at Nedbank. You gave us so much to think about, and I'm sure taken a lot of apprehension out of this potentially daunting milestone for many of our listeners. So take home message again is retirement from your career is not the end of your life. It's the beginning of a new chapter, a new adventure, maybe even an opportunity to go into the career that you had always dreamed of going into and making a bigger and better contribution to our society. All the best. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you, Sisa.
Thank you, Angelique. And I think as a parting shot, I'd like for younger people, and by younger, I mean as young as 30, to really start considering their retirement plans. I know in my early 30s, I'm now 36, in my early 30s, I was like, what? Retire who? I mean, I'm fresh, you know? Or in my 20s, I told you guys off air, I was living la vida loca. But I think the sooner we have the conversations and the sooner we have the right conversations with the right professionals, the better for us, and the more we equip ourselves to have a long-lasting and comfortable life and retirement life. Thank you.
Awesome. Well done, Sisa.